back. One more segment to go here on Inside Black and Gold. It's a podcast about the Saints. So we're going to talk about the Saints, even though Steve teed me up for UConn earlier. We're not going to talk any more UConn men's basketball, even though they're the best team in the land for another year. But we are going to continue our conversation about breakout players, breakout candidates for the Saints in 2024. We just spent a whole lot of time on the defense, so let's shift over to the offense. Steve, I'm going to start with you again. Who is your kind of top pick for a breakout player on the offense this year for the Saints?
It's a guy that we thought we were getting teed up to have a breakout year a year ago last season. And it wasn't just you, wasn't just me. Anybody that went to Saints training camp was really writing down the name Juwan Johnson a ton, pushing it out there. I've had friends in different states still mad at me for their fantasy drafts and taking Juwan because you said he was going to be this monster on the field for them. And it really just didn't materialize that breakout year in 2023 for Juwan. Finished it off a lot stronger than he started it. And I know injuries were an issue. So hopefully a healthy Juwan will lead to that breakout year for Juwan Johnson in this offense. Unless you end up going drafting a guy like Brock Bowers, and I don't know what happens to Juwan then.
Yeah, that's the tough part for me. And it's like, this is the same breakout we were predicting last year, and it didn't happen. Now exactly. You can look at that. I think that calf injury affected him more than he was willing to admit. I think he tried to play through it, didn't work. And I think that affected the chemistry that he could build with Derek. And once you saw that kind of connection materialize, those final four games, you know, Giants, he had a touchdown in three consecutive games. He had one against the Giants, one against the Rams, one against the Bucks. And that Bucks game, which was another game, he injured his shoulder on the first drive of that game on a touchdown catch, or the play before a touchdown catch, and right. Still went on to get 8 passes for 90 yards and a touchdown. And he took over that game. Like, there were points where he was just unguardable. And that's what we thought we were going to see a lot more of this season. We just didn't. But I do think that guy is in there. I really do. And when he was on, this team was on. This offense was on. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a scenario where they go and draft one of these top-end tight ends, and maybe you supplant Juwan if it's a Brock Bowers. If it's a Theo Johnson or someone like that, he probably takes a backseat this season, but you still kind of see down the road, you're like, all right, I think this guy's going to be the tight end. But I think most likely you end up running it back with Juwan and hoping that the guy you envisioned last year is the guy you see this year. And thankfully, you did get glimpses of that at the end of the season, so that we just, it's not like we were completely making stuff up, right?
It's sure, like I said, in the beginning, it felt like, and you're like, man, I feel awful for all those big recommendations I was given.
Yeah, Carolina, 2 catches on 3 targets for 13 yards, and the Packers, 2 catches on 4 targets for 12 yards against the Colts. He missed several games against the Colts. 1 catch, 5 yards. He actually had a solid game against the Bears. It's like, the, you know, 5 catches on 5 targets, only 29 yards. We did catch a touchdown. I think that was from Taysom Hill. And yeah, I mean, like, he didn't impact the games, you know, and that's the frustrating thing, because you didn't really bring in a lot of pressure behind him either. You know, like you brought in Foster Moreau, but the ceiling, that what your expectations were for Foster Moreau, they had to be low. I mean, not because you don't like Foster as a player, but because you know who Foster is as a player, which is kind of a do the dirty work, block, you know, maybe move the chains, make some catches over the middle of the field, but not your move tight end. So I like that pick. Moving on, you know, and that's kind of a good example too of like, oh, that's not all second year players. You know, he's a guy who will be entering year 5. Year 3 of being a tight end. So it's, you know, maybe it took a little time. Well, one thing that's tough on the offensive side of the ball too, we talked about this before coming on, you know, there's a tendency to want to take skill position players, and that ignores 5 positions on the defense that have a huge impact on the games, but don't really record any stats. And so, like, what would a breakout for Trevor Penning be? Probably just starting the entire season when he's healthy and staying healthy would be a breakout for Trevor Penning. So I'm not going to list him, because I think your hope for him has to be starter.
Right.
very least. So that wouldn't be a breakout to me. That would be the baseline that I need him to get to.
That's just your job.
Do your job. Do your job and don't get benched. And you could call it a breakout if you want. I'll just call it thank you. The guy who I think is a breakout candidate, and we know everyone kind of stopped talking about, is Nick Saldiveri. This is a guy the Saints drafted in the fourth round last year. They traded up to get him. They felt pretty highly about him. They were always planning to move him into guard. And is he a guy who can contribute? Is he a guy who can get out there and make an impact? Like, I don't think James Hurst is a great option at guard. I love James Hurst as a locker room guy. I think he's a solid backup. Like, he's a good swing backup. He's, there's value there that he could come in a pinch at virtually any position other than center and play well enough. But is Nick Saldiveri a potential starter in the NFL? I don't know, but this is the season I'd like to see a little bit more from him. You know, I want him to be active. I want him to be the backup. And when he gets opportunities to go in there and perform well. So if there's an offensive lineman, and just because I wanted to pick at least one offensive lineman who could potentially break out and have a much bigger impact than what you might anticipate, it's probably him.
Yeah, going through stuff, obviously I wanted to mention Penning as well, but yeah, it's like breakout, though. I can't really categorize it as that. Saldiveri, though, too, was definitely on my list of potential guys there. And yeah, curious to see. I mean, he's almost a necessary guy that you need at this point to develop and be a part, if nothing else, the rotation of guys on the offensive line, because things just, it's slim pickings right now.
Yeah, what I'll say for Nick as opposed to Trevor is that the reason these situations are different to me is, you know, Nick was always a guy that you anticipated having a redshirt season. Like, this was never a situation where you were like, okay, yeah, definitely first guy off the bench from day one. No, he's at an Old Dominion, a smaller school. There's going to be a little bit more of a ramp up for him, but you got a whole year. He was healthy all year. So there was no missed time. There was no missed assignments in terms of like, okay, this is how you're learning. This is what I need you to work on. You need to have worked on it. You need to have gone through the offseason and gone through a program and fix anything that you're deficient at. And then I need you to show up at OTAs this year and be a guy that, you know, is in contention to start. Now, you don't have to start. I don't need you to start, but I do need you to be in the conversation. I need you to push a guy like a James Hurst or whoever else, maybe not Cesar Ruiz, because I think he is entrenched, but that's what I want to see from him. Moving on from that, who's your next offensive guy?
Pretty easy one, I think, here. A guy that was a third-round pick for the team, running back Kendra Miller. Rough go overall, dealt with injuries year one, an offensive line that didn't help much. Did get his first touchdown of the year against the Falcons in the proper form, not in a cheap, you know, lineup that was designated to be a kneel down at the end of the game. We won't talk about that, though.
It was a nice one, too. I'm going to do this myself kind of touchdown.
See a lot of promise in him, and definitely someone who I think could, it's tough to even say break out, but at least show why he was a third round pick this season.
Oh, I disagree. I think you're spot on with the breakout. And, you know, he's kind of funny because he had a very similar season to Isaiah Foskey in that you saw some nice moments. Like, you saw a guy who you're like, I think he could contribute given an opportunity. But then he got hurt and he missed a significant chunk of the season. The biggest difference between Kendre and Isaiah Foskey in terms of expectations here is Kendre was able to get back for week 18 and not only played at an incredibly high level. He was the offense at points of that game, and you would give him the ball and you would just be like, well, there it is. There's that burst. There's that spark I've been missing from the run game. And like you mentioned, that touchdown, I mean, that play was dead. And I think it was a big play. I think it was a third down play in the red zone, an area the Saints, you know, had struggled to score in, not at that point. They had actually turned it around by that point. But when they were struggling, it was because they weren't getting in from more than a yard away. Like, it was either you run it in from the 1 yard line or you're kind of stuck. And you didn't have plays like that where the running back got the ball in space and just made a guy miss. You know, I think he made Jesse Bates miss in the hole. And, you know, this was a dead play. It was a toss, like a wide toss. And he gets to the kind of the inflection point of that run and is like, I'm not getting there. So I guess I'm just going to put my head down and try to run through a guy. And that's what he did. He made a move. He made Jesse Bates miss, and he got into the end zone. And, you know, you don't need a lot with Alvin Kamara to have a successful offensive attack. Alvin does so much. But you do need a counterpunch.
Yes.
And that was what you thought you were going to get with Jamal Williams, and whether it was due to an injury that slowed him down or just, you know, maybe he's just getting, you know, he's at that point as a running back that you do lose a step pretty quickly when, and it's tough to gauge when that is. So I don't know. We'll see what happens when he comes back this year for training camp.
It was just a massive drop off, obviously, from what he did at Detroit to then nothing, you know?
Right. It's crazy to see that drop off that quickly, particularly in short yardage. Like if he was if all he did was come in and be effective in short yardage, you'd be like, well, okay, that's what we wanted. He wasn't that. So that's why when Kendre got out there and you gave him the ball and suddenly it was like he's ripping off 8, 10, 12 yards and he's knocking people back. And like, it's like that makes life so much easier as an offense. And you watch the Saints operate in that game and you're like, man, okay, this is what I was expecting to see. And I don't know what a breakout for Kendre would have been. You know, what were his stats at the end of the day? They were pretty low.
Yeah.
41 attempts, 156 yards. Obviously that touchdown, he also had 10 catches. So he did show he can catch the ball. And he had that nice diving catch in the preseason from Jameis. So like the hands are there. If you end up getting him somewhere in the range of 500 rushing yards, 5 or 6 touchdowns, that to me, that is a significant breakout.
Yeah. And I'm anxious to see obviously what he's able to do in the receiving game, because not much was thought of when he was, you know, coming in initially from the Saints, but I definitely love this kid's confidence too. I want him to be able to unleash that as well, because when he got first drafted, he came in right away saying he's coming for that number one spot. And obviously that didn't happen year one. So maybe he can make it happen this season.
Yeah. And I just think that pairing of him and Alvin, it's a lot closer to the, and I'm not, everyone's going to say, oh, you're comparing him to Mark Ingram. I'm not, but I am, just from a skill set perspective, it's a lot closer to Alvin and Mark Ingram. And why I say that is, like, you know, Latavius Murray was solid in that role, but it was always a tell when he was on the field, because he just wasn't a guy you would ever put in there to go run around and catch a pass. And I think Mark was enough of a threat to do that, that it did keep defenses a little bit more off balance than a Jamal would or a Latavius did. Whereas Kendre, I think he has kind of that marking room. Like if I had to compare him from a pass reception perspective, he's a lot closer to Mark than he is to Alvin, but Mark was good enough as a pass catcher.
Totally, right.
And I like that ability to be a little bit more unpredictable in your sets. And I think that does allow that. One more guy here. And I kind of put this in the category kind of closer to the Bryan Bresee, where we talked about, in order for him to have a breakout year, he has to have a huge year just because of the expectations he set for himself after last season. And for me, that guy is Rashid Shaheed. Now, Rashid is going to have to do a lot in order to have a breakout year, a breakout performance, because, you know, he was such an elite deep threat that it's going to be hard for him to top that part of his game. 46 catches, 719 yards, 5 touchdowns. Yeah, like he was that guy that stretched the field in a way that you just haven't had in recent years. And, you know, there were multiple games that he changed because of what he was able to do. Like the Texans game, I think the Saints were really close to getting blown out in that game before that long touchdown that really kind of got the offense a little bit more on track and kept them in touch, and they were able to make a rally and have a chance to win the game late. They obviously didn't. The Colts game was his biggest impact. I think he had like 4 catches for 150 yards, something like that. Just they could not guard him downfield, and he's going to still be that guy, but there's going to be ways that I need to see him make more of an impact. I want to see him get the ball in space in Clint Kubiak's offense in ways that he was not able to last year and really get that run after catch more so than just that over the top. I want to get him the ball underneath and allow him to use that kind of punt returner ability, kick returner ability. On top of that, he's going to have opportunities this year in the kick return game that he just didn't have last year or the year before.
Right.
And I think teams that have that elite returner are really going to have games swing in moments, in big moments on long returns, whether it be for a touchdown or whether it just be a return that sets up a drive at the 40 or the 50. And I think from a return perspective, now that you have bring returners back into the game, he could have a huge breakout in that part. Now, he's already, like, as a punt returner, he was an all-pro punt returner. So it's going to be hard for him to make an impact as a punt returner that really kind of blows you away. You know, maybe if he returns two or three kicks. I think you have a guy who you could see returning three, four touchdowns in this new kind of setup, assuming they kick him the ball. But it's tough. And I think he's a guy who, you know, without Michael Thomas, you kind of open up that ability of a guy to catch, you know, 60, 70 passes with more targets. Chris Olave is obviously going to be the primary, and maybe if you bring in a Hunter Renfro or another veteran, they steal some of that target share. But I think Rashid is a guy who you're only kind of scratching the surface of what he can actually do. And he's another guy that missed time with injuries. So if he can be healthy, if he can kind of build that rapport with Derek even more, I think he could very much be a guy you're looking at 1,000 yards, 70 catches, 6-7 touchdowns, DeSean Jackson type numbers.
Yeah, for what you mentioned too, I'm definitely buying stock in Shaheed this season going into the year with a new OC and Clint Kubiak. I'm very curious to see what kind of, you know, what he has Shaheed getting into. In no way am I saying that Shaheed is like a Deebo Samuel, but I think that Kubiak could end up using him in similar type ways.
I agree completely. So anyone else you want to throw on that list before we wrap this sucker up here?
No, that was pretty much it. And like you said, I wanted to bring in like a Trevor Penning into the discussion. We talked about it a little, and it's really just, I just need the guy to be on the field at this point. It's not even, you know, forget living up to being a first round draft pick. Just get on the damn field and give this team some snaps and hopefully some reliability and protecting Derek Carr.
Yep, I agree with you. I agree with you. The other guy that feels worth mentioning is A.T. Perry. Now, yeah, you know, I think we saw a lot of what he can do, and he can be a weapon in the red zone. Now, is he a guy who's going to have a different role, a different type of role in Clint Kubiak's offense? That's tough to say. But I do feel like, you know, he could be a guy that catches double-digit touchdowns if you use him the right way. I don't know if he's ever going to be a guy that catches 1,000 yards or 80 passes, but he can be a guy that you cannot guard in the red zone, because that's what he was last year. You threw him the ball in the red zone, he was coming down with it. And that's good. I'd like to see him get a little stronger. I think that's probably priority number one for him, is just become a little more sturdy. And, you know, we talked about the hands a lot in the preseason last year. I'd like to see some work done on that, because I think you can improve your hands. I think that's a part of your game that if you practice at it, you can improve your hands. Not infinitely. Like, there is a limit. Some guys just have these crazy hands. Odell Beckham, for example, Mike Thomas had just had vice grips for hands. And I don't know if you can develop that.
But Mike talked about doing hand yoga. He would actually do hand yoga to increase the size, help increase size.
Yeah, and strength. You know, like, right, stuff you don't think about is hand strength, but it is a thing. Like, if you ever try to arm wrestle somebody who's like really good at arm wrestling, and you're just like, holy shit.
Right.
Like, I could tell you could tell before you even start. It's like, I'm not beating this guy. Like, it's, my hand feels like it's about to snap enough.
Right.
Anyway. But yeah, I'd like to see AT put some work in there. And I think he could be another breakout candidate. But it's kind of telling that the two of these guys are wide receivers, not because I don't have faith in them, but because
you need them.
You know, like in order to have a big season from an offensive perspective, you probably need one or both of these guys to have a breakout type season. And, you know, that's a lot to ask. So we'll see. But either way, I think we have a pretty good list here. If you have any that you think that we missed, throw it in the comments.
Right.
Hit me up on Twitter at @Jeff_Nowak. Let me know who you think is a breakout candidate. And, you know, maybe we can do a kind of follow-up segment in the next episode. But I think we have a good one. So on offense, we have Kendre Miller, Rashid Shaheed, Nick Saldivari, Jawan Johnson, and then at a lesser level, A.T. Perry and Trevor Penning. I think those are all a lot of young players, a lot of intriguing players that could have a big impact this season.
We'll see what like the team ends up adding very soon in the draft coming up. And I think everyone's expecting, though, that first round to be offensive line minded.
All right. I think we have done it. I think we've done it here. So I'm going to leave you with words of wisdom from your, you know, second favorite Saints quarterback here.
Nice try with the hate. We ain't doing that no more. Appreciate you, though.
Appreciate you, though.
What's he eating, peanut butter?
Yeah, it's like a dog that has peanut butter on the roof of his mouth. Maybe he just watched Mickey's press conference and was like, I could do that.
No, that is the be-all, end-all right there.
Yeah. But all right, this is Inside Black and Gold. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you.
See you next time.